Judges chapter number 13. And I want to go to verse number 8. Verse number 8. Then Manoah entreated the Lord and said, O my Lord, let the man of God which thou didst send come again unto us and teach us what we shall do unto the child that shall be born. Notice these last words of verse number 8. The Bible says, and teach us what we shall do unto the child that shall be born. Teach us what we shall do unto the child that shall be born. I want to preach for a little while on this subject. Do right for your parents' sakes. I'm going to approach this a little different than we might normally think about it. And in fact, I could preach on to the parents, do right for your children's sake. I preached some time ago on do not sin against the child. And so many times parents sin against their own children. But then on the other hand, I think that we might also consider with profit the idea of do right for your parents' sake. I found out this in preaching. I do believe that it can be good to go at a subject from different angles, as it might be said. Kind of like driving a nail and perhaps hitting it one lick from one angle, and then perhaps if you move to another position, you hit it again, move to another position, hit it again, every time hitting it squarely on the head and driving it further in. When it comes to the preaching and the teaching of the Word of God, sometimes we may deal with the same basic idea, but deal with it in some different ways. And the whole time be driving the point home that needs to be driven home. And so, I want to deal with this. I might preach on, for instance, the financial and the physical and the spiritual consequences of not doing right. I might preach on do right just because God said it is right and it's right to do what God says to do. I could preach it on it from different ways, but I want you to consider this. Do right for your parents' sake. We have a number of young people. In fact, it's something how things have changed so that now we have a number of young adults and young people, older young people, perhaps that's the way to put it. Older young people in our crowd. When do you break over into middle age? Some of you folks may be getting close to middle age. But I think right now we might say we got some older young people. And so I want to deal with that subject, do right, for your parents' sake. Now, concerning Manoah, I know very little about Manoah. We have very little other than outside of this passage and a little bit more. We have very little about Manoah, but Manoah was a man that God did something very special for. The Bible tells about the prophecy that was given concerning the child that was to be conceived. And Manoah said, teach us what we shall do unto the child that shall be born. If I were to judge by the prayer that he prayed, then if you go down into verse number 12, the Bible says, and Manoah said, now let thy words come to pass. How shall we order the child, and how shall we do unto him? If I were to judge by those words, I might think that Manoah truly was concerned about how to rear this child. This certainly was a special child. In fact, when you read the background of the story, the Bible tells about Manoah's wife. She was barren, and the Bible says, bear not. That's the way the wording is. She was barren and bear not. And the prophecy was given about that she was to have a child. And in fact, the Lord told her through an angel that the child was to be a Nazarite unto God. So the child was to have that special position, as it might be said, to have been a Nazarite unto God. And then also we might consider the prophecy, he shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines. Now, the Bible speaks about Israel, the fact that it had been delivered unto the hand of the Philistines 40 years. So think about the nation of Israel in this time of being under the Philistines, and of course, along with being under them, there may have been a number of ways in which they were oppressed, And yet God gave this prophecy for a barren woman that she was going to conceive and have a child. That child was to be a Nazarite unto God, and that child was to begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines. Not very long ago, I was dealing with this situation and preached in the past on the subject of predestined. There was a prophecy given by God, and a person might have thought that what Samson will be is a very clean, living, good man, a military, mighty man, a man that will come on the scene and lead the armies of Israel out to fight against the Philistines, therefore begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines. That's not at all how it went. Instead, I believe that Samson was a selfish, self-centered, lustful man that sometimes had faith. The Bible does indicate that he had faith, and then right there at the end of his life, I believe he resorted to faith, he trusted God, and there was the killing of many of the Philistines, and the Lord did use Samson to begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines. The fact was that God prophesied it, and it would be so. I believe it would have been better if he'd have lived a good life. I believe it would have been better if he would have just simply followed the leadership of God. And as a result of that, God might have had him leading armies of Israel, but instead he went his own way. God still fulfilled his prophecy. Of course, there's that saying, history shall be pressed into the mold of prophecy. You can just mark it down. If God said it, it shall be. It shall come to pass. And so, it was predestined that he would begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines. But when you look at the life of Samson, you look at the way he lived, you might wonder to yourself, did the parents fail in their training of Samson? Honestly, I have little information. I do think this, though. When God gives you some scripture about an individual, a particular Bible character, and he points out some characteristics about that Bible character, oftentimes those are things that will identify the kind of person that is, or that was in the historical sense. If I were to call a number of names, biblical names, you might have a word that would come to your mind concerning that particular individual. If I were to call the name of Enoch or Abraham or Isaac or Jacob or Esau, but go down a list. If I were to call out those names, give you just a little time to think about it, you might come up with some trait that the Bible shows us about that individual. From what the Bible tells us about Manoah and his wife, and especially as far as the questions, concerning the questions that Manoah asked, I suspect that Manoah wanted to rear that child properly and in a way that would please God. And yet over in chapter number 14, we have the indication that Samson was not living for God. Somebody might point to Proverbs 22:6. Train up a child in the way he should go. When he is old, he will not depart from it. I think the wording is interesting there. Train up a child in the way he should go. Train up a child. I've dealt with this in the past, but both parents are to be on the right track. Both parents are to be on the right track. Both parents are themselves to be living for God, both of them. If one parent is not living for God and one parent is living for God, then there can be conflict and confusion, but both parents are to be on the right track. Then number two, both parents are to lead on the right tracks, like the engine in the front pulling the cars behind. Both parents are to be on the right track, leading on the right track. Then number three, both parents are to pull their children behind them on the right track. Don't fall for this false philosophy. The false philosophy, do as I say and not as I do. It does not work. In fact, when a parent says, and by the way, here's one thing I found interesting. Many times when you find something that is true about a pastor, it is true about a parent as well. as far as how a person should conduct himself, how a person should help people, I think there are so many lessons that can be learned if you consider both of those positions, the position of parent and pastor. Now, this idea of do as I say and not as I do. Well, that's what shows up in Matthew chapter number 23 when Jesus Christ was talking about the hypocrites. In fact, one of the marks of a hypocrite is that he says and does not. One of the marks of a hypocrite is that he binds burdens on other people that he does not carry himself. And so, both of the parents are to be on the right track. Both of the parents are to be in the lead on the right track. Both of the parents are to be pulling their children along behind them on the right track. The right track is an upward track. Train up a child in the way he should go. The parents, of course, should be, if they're saved parents, the parents should be growing up in the Lord. The parents should be becoming more Christ-like and at the same time pulling their children along behind them, helping them to become more Christ-like as well. And so, it is an upward way, and being an upward way, there can be a strain as we try to go the upward way, go to the higher ground. Then number five, parents should try to keep the child on the right track until the child has chosen the right track for his track. Now, if a parent pulls the child on the right track until he's gets to 10, 12 years of age, and then he lets the child do what he wants to do, there's a possibility that child is going to do contrary to the will of God. And so it's good if the parents can keep the child on the right track, pull the child on the right track until the child chooses the right track for their track. And then as well, parents should continue after a child is an adult to encourage the child to stay on the right track. Of dealing with the book of Job and the caring spiritually for adult children. And, of course, in that sense, Job, I believe, cared for his children. He sent and sanctified and sacrificed. Even though his children were meeting elsewhere, having a meal together, I believe he cared about his children spiritually. Now, it is true. But even though we may speak about all these things and say, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he'll not depart from it, none of us are perfect parents. None of us parents are here are perfect parents. And I may say it somewhat jokingly, because I may hear people say things like, I had a little angel. Talking about a little child. I had a little angel. We had a little angel born in our family. We ain't had no little angels born in my family. And I'm not one either. None of us are. The parents aren't perfect. The children aren't perfect. And when we think about this idea of training up our children in the way that they should go, the fact is, all of us have failed. And I know sometimes a person, a distraught parent, may say something like, well, I did everything right. Well, I can say this. I didn't do everything right. I haven't done everything right. And sometimes a child may magnify the faults of a parent. But we are to, by the grace of God, as parents, to be leading the children properly. And the children should do right, first of all, out of a love for God. But then I think another reason is for the parents' sake. In the book of Judges, chapter number 14. The Bible here tells about Samson. Apparently he was older, perhaps a young adult at this particular time. And the Bible tells about the fact that Samson demanded of his parents to do something that was against the will of God. Notice, if you will, in verse number 2. The Bible says, and he came up and told his father and his mother and said, I have seen a woman in Timnath, of the daughters of the Philistines. Now, therefore, get her for me to wife. Now, that was against the will of God. He demanded of his mother and father to do something that was against the will of God. Let me say this to the young people here. And if you when you live long enough to see different situations, you may see this happening sometimes. Sometimes a young adult may demand from the parents to participate in their wrongdoing. They may want them to participate. In this particular case, the Bible tells that he demanded, therefore get her for me to wife. Now that was not in accordance with the will of God. It was not in accordance with the law of God. But he demanded that of his parents. It's something how that, and I think sometimes to try to get the condoning of someone, that a person that's going the wrong way may try to get the participation of someone. Recently it came up about weddings. Why is it that a person may go for years neglecting the church, or and if even perhaps rejecting the church, but somewhere along the line decide to get married, and then look up a preacher and a church to get married in? Well, if a church is not good enough to go to on a regular basis, why go there to get married? I think some people, they may want a church wedding because somehow there's condoning and get the church to participate, get the preacher to participate. Why get us to participate now if you've rejected us all along the way? So sometimes I think a child may demand that parents participate with them in wrongdoing. And sometimes a child may defy the correction by the parents and desire that the parents accept them as they are. Notice, if you will, in verse number 3. Then his father and his mother said unto him, is there never a woman among the daughters of thy brethren, or among all my people, that thou goest to take a wife of the uncircumcised Philistines? Now, the Bible doesn't say that Samson said, well, let me think about it. Let me look at some scripture. And instead, here's what he said to his father. Get her for me, for she pleaseth me well. He was determined to do wrong. Verse number 5. The Bible says, then went Samson down, and his father, and his mother, to Timnath, and came to the vineyards of Timnath, and behold, a young lion roared against him. Notice those first words, then went Samson down, and his father, and his mother, to Timnath. And so now, he had them participating. They had gone down to the Philistine city then. And so, he had demanded that his parents do something that was unbiblical, that wasn't right. He had determined to do that which was wrong. Then number 3, Samson was dishonest with his father and mother. In verse number 5, the Bible talks about that young lion that roared against him. Verse number 6, and the Spirit of the Lord came. The Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him, and he rent him as he would have rent a kid, and he had nothing in his hand. But he told not his father or his mother what he'd done. Then the scripture goes on to say, verse number 7, he went down and talked with the woman, and she pleased Samson well. Then he came, after a while, he came to this carcass of a lion. There in the carcass of that lion, there was a swarm of bees, and there was honey. Notice, if you will, verse number 9. And he took thereof in his hands and went on eating. Then the Bible says, and came to his father and mother, and he gave them, and they did eat. But he told not them that he had taken the honey out of the carcass of a lion, And so, we have Samson. Now, Samson was a Nazarite. Samson was not to come unto a dead body. Samson, if his mother and father was to have died, Samson was not even to have touched the body of his mother and father because he was a Nazarite. And yet, he tore this lion, and then he took honey from this lion, and he gave it to his mother and father. They did eat of it, but he didn't tell them where it came from. In addition to being involved with that dead lion, that lion carcass, he also gave the honey to his mother and father, and therefore he gave them that which was unclean for them. Now, for them it was a sin of ignorance, but it was still contrary to the Word of God. But he didn't tell them. And so, Samson was dishonest with his father and mother. And then number four, Samson dishonored his father and mother. He dishonored them in more than one way. But verse number 10, so his father went down unto the woman, and Samson made there a feast, for so used the young men to do. So there was a feast. In fact, the Bible speaks later on about the woman being his wife, and so it seems there was actually a marriage. In verse number 10, the Bible talked about the feast. In verse number 11, and it came to pass when they saw him that they brought 30 companions to be with him. And so here was a stranger in a strange land, getting married in a strange land to a strange woman in the sense of being a Philistine, and, of course, being in a strange land, he didn't have friends there. And therefore, there were companions that were gotten for him. And notice, the Bible says in verse number 20, but Samson's wife was given to his companion, whom he had used as his friend. And so apparently, one of the companions that was provided for Samson to use as a friend ended up marrying his wife. In between the time, the Bible talks about the feast, and there was the riddle that was put forth, and there was a pressure put upon his wife, and finally his wife broke down and gave his wife the answer to the riddle, and then in order to pay what was owed, he ended up killing 30 Philistines and so on. And so many things happen that I believe would not have happened if Samson had just simply determined to do right. I want to deal with these few things. Number one, if your parents have been faithful Christians, then do right for your parents' sakes. I've dealt with it, of course, in the past, but the investment in children is so tremendous that the value cannot be put upon it. I dealt with this idea of homeschooling, but it doesn't have to be just in homeschooling. There are so many ways that parents invest in children, time, effort, money, so many ways which parents, good parents, invest in their children. And there's no value that can be placed upon that. And then when you think about spiritual things, certainly no value can be placed upon that. And so, if you are here, and you are one of the few people on the face of this earth that have had good Christian parents, you are of a very select few upon the face of this earth that have had good Christian parents that have tried to rear you right, well, do good, do right for your parents' sakes. Now, certainly y'all do right for God, but still, do right for your parents' sake if you got good Christian parents. Then, I was thinking about a situation I heard about recently. It was told about Dr. Seitler's, one of his grandchildren, had joined a Southern Baptist church, a church that would have, I believe Dr. Seitler certainly would not have approved of that, and yet he'd gone a different direction. And parents, they try to rear their children properly. Good Christian parents try to rear their children properly and invest so much in them. And I think it would be honoring to parents to do right. Do right because it's right to do. Do right because God said it. But also to do right because of the fact that the parents have put so much into the children. Then number two. Do right for the parents' sake if your parents are lukewarm and moderate believers. There might be somebody here and you've got a parent or parents that maybe are really not separated and sold out believers. You might have a parent or parents that belong to some denomination that is more contemporary, just really is not sold out for God. Well, it would be good for you to do right for their sakes. It would be good if they could look at you and see things in you and say, well, I need that. And perhaps hear things from you and realize that that's better, that's a better way to live than what I'm being taught where I go to church at. It would be good for you to do right for your parents' sake, even if they are moderate or lukewarm believers. If there is a good child, if there is a good relative in a family that is really not all out for God, that's lukewarm, moderate, if there is a person in the family that's doing right, it can help the rest of the family. It can give the rest of the family some light, give them a good example. I remember when I was coming up, I had a cousin of mine, and the family, some of them may have claimed to be somewhat religious. I talked to the father one time about being saved, and I don't know that he ever answered me, but his wife answered up and said, he's saved, and I think he might have talked about being baptized, but I don't know that he ever gave me a clear indication of salvation. There were two siblings that were immoral, but there was one in that family that I feel like truly got saved as perhaps 12-year-old boy or so. I think there may have been one in that family that got right with God, got saved by the grace of God. And he was different. And so right in the midst of that family, there was one that was different. I remember when I was coming up, there was one family, and it's changed now, but there was one family on my dad's side, they were kind of like the fundamentalist of the family. And they were different. But it gave a light, as it might be said. In fact, part of the reason why I went to Tabernacle may have been because of this, one of the family members' influence and learning about Dr. Seitler and so on. But that, when you've got somebody in a family that's really not all sold out for God, but there's somebody there, it may help that family to do better. And certainly families in this day, we need light. And if a family is a moderate, lukewarm, maybe religious, but still lukewarm, then it may help them to have somebody in the family that is doing better, that's going to higher ground. I preached some time ago on this subject, going farther than our fathers did. In the case of Abraham, it might be said he went farther than his father did. It would be good if every young person here stood on the shoulders, as it might be said, of their parents and went farther than what your parents have gone spiritually, did better, went higher, did more for God than what your parents have. And so, if you got parents that are really not all sold out for God, it would be good if you were sold out for God to give that light in the family. And then number three, if your parents used to be sold out, fervent believers, but have been backslidden, do right for your parents' sake. Of course, it might be said that any old dead fish can float downstream. And when people quit fighting, they'll start backsliding. When people quit pressing on toward the mark, and they quit trying to, if a fish is in a swift river, it may be trying to swim some and just staying still, but it's going to be a struggle just to stay still in the midst of a swift current. We live in a world in which the current is swift. And so, some of you may have had some parents that were going along there and fighting for what was right and doing what was right, and perhaps They were doing well for a while, and then they started to slide back. Do right for their sakes. If they saw you doing things that they used to do, they know they're right, but they saw you doing things that they used to do. If they saw you having an interest in spiritual things the way they used to have an interest for spiritual things, it may help them. And they may say, well, I need to do better. And then last of all, if you have lost parents, do right for your parents' sakes. It is a blessing in a family that is dark, spiritually speaking, when there's someone in the group that got saved by the grace of God, has a testimony, a clear testimony of salvation. And right there in the midst of the darkness, there's a shining light, and there needs to be a continual testimony of the work of God, the grace of God. If your parents are unsaved, do right for your parents' sake. You may be the only one that can really impress them greatly, and sometimes they may not show it, but still you may impress them greatly because they knew you so well and they see such a tremendous difference. And so if you have parents that are lost, do right for your parents' sake. And so it is certainly right to do right because God said to do it, and because you have a love for God. But then, here's just something in addition. Do right for your parents' sake, regardless of where they are spiritually. It would be best if you did right, if you were faithful. We need people that are faithful in families to help the rest of the families. We need that. And so, do right for your parents' sake. If you will, please stand.